So we are up to Yoshev Beseser as we continue through the Shabbos morning Psugi the Zimra. So this tefillah was also written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe continues that man achieves fulfillment only through closeness to Hashem, and that Hashem will rescue him from danger and foe. And the Gemara calls this kapitel the kapitel Shir Shel Pegoyim O Shel Negoyim. It's a song of plagues, because one who recites it with faith in Hashem will be helped by him in a time of danger. And Moshe speaks of the faithful believer who finds refuge in the shadow of Hashem, and who Hashem promises long life and salvation. And the reason we say Yoshev Beseser on Shabbos is to ask for the salvation from the evil spirits that are enforced on Shabbos Eve. And according to the Yavetz, we need more protection on Shabbos than during the week, because Shabbos only provides protection for those who observe its laws diligently. And we therefore say Yoshev Beseser to clear the ear from any evil spirits that may still be wandering around in the morning. And we say Yoshev Beseser Elyon B'tzel Shaka Yislonon, that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And Rashi explains that the person seeks refuge provided only by Hashem will abide in his shadow, as Hashem will then protect him. Omer LaHashem Machzi Umtzudasi Elokai Eftachbo, I will say of Hashem, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And Rashi explains, I will say of Hashem that he is my refuge and my fortress in whom I trust, and that everyone will learn from me. And the Ma'amloa says, in the time of trouble, I flee to that fortress of Hashem. Kihu Yatzilcha Mipach Yokush Midever Havos, that he will save you from the ensnaring trap, from the devastating pestilence. And the Radak learns, Moshe is telling everyone, if you trust him, he will save you, just as he saved me, because I trusted in him. And the Ma'amloi says, trusting in Hashem leads to two advantageous results. It saves a person from the troubles that befall other human beings, as it says he will save you from the ensnaring trap, and it also saves him from the afflictions of heaven, as it says from the devastating pestilence, which is sent by divine providence. With his pinion he will cover you, and under his wings will you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. And the Malbim explains, with his pinion he will cover you as a shield against the evils perpetrated by man. And under his wings will you take refuge is to be saved from the evil that stems from heaven. And another explanation is that he will save you as an eagle hovers over her nest and spreads her wings and bears them on her pinion. And the Sforno learns, with his pinions he will cover you refers to saving you from your enemies. And under his wings will you take refuge refers to the afflictions that come with time. And his truth refers to the Torah, as the Torah being the shield and armor to save a person. Lo siru mipachad loilam mechetz yof yomam. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. And the Radak learns, the afflictions of time are likened to arrows that come flying at a person suddenly. He continues that one walks alone at night is afraid, but you will not be afraid, for you trust in Hashem who always walks beside you. Midever ba'ofel yahaloch miketev yoshub tzaharoyim, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. And the Radak and Evan Ezra learn, you will be safe from the pestilence which spreads at night due to the cold, and from the destruction of noonday which is due to the heat. Rashi and the Mitzvahs David say, Midever, Miketev are names of Shadim, of demons, one who roams at night, and one who goes around in the afternoon and cause harm to people. Yipol Mitzidcha Elef, or Ravava, Miminecha Elecha Lo Yigash, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. And the Evan Ezra explains that the shadow of Hashem will conceal him from the pestilence, while those around him will fall. And the Radak says, in battle you will be safe, while those around you are dying in war. And the Ma'amloes points out, Yigash is singular, showing that not even one of them will come close to you. And the Sforno learns that this battle that it's referring to is the Melchemes Gog u'Magog. And the Targum also learned that the last Pasuk was also referring to Shadim, and says that you will mention Hashem's name, and 1,000 Shadim will fall on your left side, and 10,000 will fall on your right side, but they will not come near you to harm you. Rak beinecha sabet v'shilumas rishayim tira, you will but look with your eyes and you will see the retribution of the wicked. And the Radak learns, you will see the death of the rishayim and you will be in peace. And the Malbim explains that you will look around at all those who fell and you will be ma'ayin, you will delve into it and you will realize that Hashem paid back the rishayim and did not do bad to any of the tzaddikim. Kiata shemachzi elyon samtem onecha, because you said, you, Hashem, are my refuge. You have made the Most High your dwelling place. And the Radak explains why do you have all this peace? Is because you made the Most High your dwelling place. And so as David says, you rely on Hashem, just like one relies on his umbrella to protect him from the rain. And the Malbim learns that the reason you're protected is since you made the Most High your dwelling place. So just like the Malachim are not affected by things that happen here on earth, so too you will not be affected. Lo sune lecha ra v'nega lo yikrav b'halecha. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And the Radak says your tent includes you, your wife, and your children. And the Gemara learns, this is a bracha from David to Shlomo, that the Yetzer Hara should not rule over you. And when you come home from a long journey, you should find your wife to be in a, it should not be in a doubtful state of nida. And another explanation is that no bad dreams or bad thoughts should terrify you. And may you not have a son or a student whose public conduct is disreputable. He will charge his angels for you to protect you in all your ways. And the Gemara continues and learns that this and the next pasuk were brachos from Bathsheba, his mother, to Shlomo HaMelech. And the Radak says that he will point his angels to keep you in all of your ways. Al kapayim se'uncha pentigof even raglecha, on your palms they will carry you, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And the Mefarshim learn that these malachim will carry you in their palms so that you don't have to travel by foot, lest you strike your foot against the rock. And they will protect you even from the damage that happens and occurs naturally. The Malbim says that the malachim from the last pasuk, who were commanded to watch over you, will carry you and not let you walk because they are afraid you will hurt yourself. And they were told to protect you. And therefore they will carry you to protect you out of that fear. And the Zera Yaakov learns that the malachim you created through the mitzvahs that you did with your palms, with your hands, will raise you above all dangers that lurk in your path. Al shachal v'fesen tidroch tirmos kefir v'sanin. Upon the lion and the viper you will tread, you will trample the young lion and serpent. And the Mitzvah David says you will be able to tread on them and not get hurt. And the Gemara brings a story of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, that there was once a place that there was a snake hole, and anyone that would walk past there, the snake would come out and bite the person and they would die. And the people came and told Rav Chanina ben Dosa what was going on, and he asked to be taken to the hole. And when he came to the hole, the snake came out and bit him, and the snake died. And Rav Chanina ben Dosa turned to the people and said, it's not the snake that kills, it's the Aveira that kills. For he has yearned with love for me, therefore I will rescue him, I will set him high, because he has known my name. And the Radak says, Hashem said, since he desires me, I will save him. On account of his love, I will rescue him, and I will be a refuge for him, so no destructive agent can touch him. The Me'am Loe says, Cheshek yearns is greater than Ahava of love. One who loves may on occasion cease to forget about his beloved, which is not so when one yearns for his love. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will rescue him and I will honor him. And the Ibn Ezra explains, when trouble comes upon his generation by divine decree, he will call upon me and I will answer him and be with him. Then I will rescue him and I will honor him, that he will have no need for anyone except me. And the Radak says, if he finds himself in a place of trouble, let him not be afraid. For I will be with him and rescue him from the trouble, and he will suffer no harm. And then says David learns that after I rescue him from his tzara, I will grant him greater honor than he had before. And the Sforno says that the tzara we're talking about is, again, it's referring to the Molchemes, Gog u'Magog. Arech yamim asbiyeyu v'areyu b'shuasi. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my deliverance. And the Radak learns long life means in this world, and I will satisfy him means in Olam Haba. And I will show him my deliverance, meaning that of his soul, of his neshama. Another explanation is if a chassid dies during the Golus, I will show him my deliverance when I redeem Klal Yisrael by resurrecting him at Tchias HaMeisim. And the Pasuk should have said, really, our deliverance, talking about Klal Yisrael, and not my deliverance, which refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see from here that our salvation is also the salvation, the Yeshua of Hashem. For just as we are in Golus, He is in Golus with us. And the Avudram says there are 124 words in this capital, and no, I did not count them. And if we would repeat the whole capital, we would have 248 words, which equals our organs and limbs, which symbolizes Hashem's protection over every part of those who serve Him. And rather than trouble the Tzibur to repeat the entire capital twice, it has only become the minhag to therefore repeat this last pasuk to symbolize that, and in that way it counts as doing it two times. And to close with the email, or the story, and then the homework. So we've mentioned this many times about obviously how Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything, and everything that goes on is only being done through a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the only exception where one has any control per se is through his tefillah. And tefillah has an impact on how Hashem governs and runs the world and deals with us. And in a letter, the Chazon Ish wrote how wondrous it is that a person could discuss all of his problems and concerns with Hashem. Whenever he has any sort of issue, when there is something on our mind, we can talk about it with him. And then we're free. And there's nothing that we have to be concerned. And he says that there's nothing that's considered to be limited, that it's only to big things, as we've mentioned. It's not that it has to just be a health issue, a parnasa issue, but even regard to small things in life, such as if you're looking for a new pair of shoes, you could bring the matter to Hashem. Nothing is too small for him to listen. And with this great chesed, we don't have to wait in any line, we don't have to pick up a phone, we don't have to pay any fees to speak with him, and we could even profit from talking and having a thorough tefillah. And tefillah offers us that opportunity that at any moment of the day, we can, when we want to speak about an issue, we can turn to Hashem to put in this issue, as opposed to if we want to talk to somebody, you want to go, you know, collect tzedakah, you have to go to their house, you have to go around the shul, you have to meet with someone, you have to get up early. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not speaking with him at any moment, it's being able to speak with him at any time, not just dafka during tefillah, I should say, but at any moment. And as we said, we could talk to him, you know, when we talk to other people, sometimes we're ashamed about the issues we're suffering through, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And as it says, daga b'leiv yishchena, that if there's a worry in a person's heart, he should speak about it. And the Gemara explains that, as we said, people are embarrassed, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing to be embarrassed. And as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than anything that we can imagine. And just as we would approach any person that loves us to discuss specific issues, that person will, you know, reassure us that he'll help, but obviously when we walk away, the issue still weighs in our minds. But when we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that we're talking to the source that will always listen to us and will never lose patience hearing it again and again, as many times as it takes for us to, you know, bear our souls to him. And even though we spoke to him at Shacharis, we could speak to him again at Mincha, again at Maariv, and Hashem never feels bothered by it. And therefore, we should always remember the pasuk of Dirshu Hashem, Ve'uzo, Bakshu Fan of Tamid, that we should always speak to Hashem and his strength and beseech him always, because in that way, we take advantage of the tefillos that we have, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will Be'ez Hashem answer them, and answer whether it's for Klal Yisrael with all the tzaros by the sending of Mashiach, whether it's individually, what, you know, whatever the issues are, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer those tefillos, and we will have the goal B'mehera B'yameinu. And the homework, obviously, is, you know, to, when we get to Yoshe B'Seser next Shabbos, to think a little bit about what we're saying in Yoshe B'Seser. But I had another thought also, you know, when we started the Tfilavad, the homework, since we weren't involved in the actual Tfilah, with different aspects about the davening. And, you know, there are certain things, and, you know, maybe I'm, you know, I'm a kanoi a little perhaps, maybe I'm wrong in it perhaps, but there are certain things that I feel that the shul sort of has stagnated in its Tfilah. And, you know, if we look around, whether it's the talking, whether it's the being in the back of the shul, whether it's in the kitchen, the tefillah is just, it's not a place where, you know, if we want to say we're a base tefillah, that we're growing in that fashion. And I thought maybe as a chaburo that, you know, if we sort of take the example where, you know what, we come in, you know, we don't have to say hello to the next person, we don't have to talk during the davening, and if people see how, you know, we're focused on only the davening and not on everyone around us, and we're not running for president, but we have to say hello to someone we didn't see in a long time, or talk to the guy next to us, or, you know, whatever it is, that the examples will hopefully then spread to other people when they realize that we're not responding to them, perhaps, when they talk to us, and they will take up the same idea, and Bez Hashem, we will really become then a home of tefillah.